With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Back together, the triple threat. I was here on Friday. Rich is back from his hiatus. My name's Sean Pendergast. The aforementioned Rich, of course, is Rich Lord. What's happening, Rich?
Hey, Sean, how are you?
I'm great. Did you have a nice trip?
I had a good trip. I hope you did as well.
Fantastic.
Sean was in Vegas. I was in Brooklyn. And now we're back as the Triple Threat on a Monday. And happy to be here. And yes, smoky indeed. Show of hands. How many of you wore a surgical mask to work today?
I don't know about today, but I might tomorrow, man.
I thought about it.
Oh, dude. This can't be good.
No, there's no way it can be good. It can be nothing but bad.
I mean, if it were like a barbecue smoke, you know what I mean? If like there was a gigantic brisket being cooked over there, being barbecued over there in Deer Park, that would be, can you imagine that how big a brisket would be to give off that much smoke? It would be phenomenal.
Well,
but it's not. It's
Laura
chemicals.
Is the staff meteorologist. Yeah. And so when she comes back in here, I want to confirm with her, could it be worse if it like started raining and all that stuff started coating our homes and our vehicles?
Oh, man. All right, Rich. Let's get to sports. Wow. That would be...
That produces a level of angst. And here's my attempt at bringing it back to where it needs to be.
Okay.
Speaking of angst.
Yeah.
If you were Deshaun Watson right now, would you be a little concerned?
That was the lead question going into the show on Friday with me and Clint.
Was it?
It was. So, Rich, that was the topic off the top of the show on Friday how is Deshaun Watson looking at this free agency right now? I think it's a fair question to ask, though, because some things, at least in terms of prospecting, maybe not in terms of actual signature on paper,
right,
but at least in terms of things going on at NRG Stadium, the story has changed since Friday.
Yes.
There's a mini job fair going on over there today.
But had Darrell Williams and Juwan James signed their deals on Friday?
Oh, I don't know.
I just don't understand how good money is being thrown at some pretty talented offensive tackles, and seemingly the Texans are going to rely maybe entirely on the draft to fill their biggest and most crying need on this team. Now, if they sign Donald Penn tomorrow, I'll change my tune.
Yeah, well, let's start there. So Donald Penn, and we'll get to Donald Penn in just a second, because of the guys we're about to talk about, he's the one who, at least reportedly, has not scheduled a trip to NRG Stadium yet to meet with the Texans, but he was let go by the Raiders, who, of course, just threw crazy money at Trent Brown last week. So Donald Penn, who's an older tackle, he's in his mid-30s, but up until this past season, super durable, played at a high level, a Pro Bowler 2016 and 2017 for the Raiders. We'll get to him in just a second, but this is the current actual news going on with the Texans. There are three players, all of whom I think fit and fill a need if they were to sign with the Texans. I don't know if they're the best at what you could go get at each of these positions, but Darren Fells, a tight end who was let go by the Cleveland Browns, but reportedly and statistically a very, very good blocker. Jordan Mills, who is a tackle that started for the Buffalo Bills last year, who obviously Brian Gain has some familiarity with in his 1 year with the Bills, visiting the Texans as well. And the one that intrigues me the most, Rich, quite honestly, even though I know that, and it's not for the Brent Musburger reasons and things like that, although we'll certainly, I'm sure, between now and 6 o'clock play Brent Musburger ogling Catherine Webb and Dee Bonner. But you know that I've been a big advocate of them upgrading backup quarterbacks significantly, and A.J. McCarron is reportedly going to be coming into town today to visit the Texans. I think that would be a gigantic upgrade from Brandon Whedon at the backup quarterback position.
Yeah, he's a younger player, probably a stronger arm than Brandon Whedon, especially at this point in respectively in their careers. Not a lot of experience. He's not played in a lot of NFL games, but you know, Brandon Whedon hadn't been on the field since 2015.
Yeah,
2015.
Yeah, yeah. Here's my thing with AJ McCarron, and your question about Deshaun speaks more to the pressing need of the offensive line. So we'll circle back to that here in just a minute. But as long as we're on McCarron for a second, I think they need to do better than Brandon Whedon at backup quarterback.
Yeah,
they're not gonna find somebody who, if Deshaun goes down for the season, he's all of a sudden gonna lead you to the promised land. But they need to find somebody who, if Deshaun goes down for a few games, he can step in and win games. AJ McCarron did that back in 2015 when Andy Dalton went down towards the end of the season for the Bengals. He went 2-1. He would have won a playoff game if Vontaze Burfict hadn't committed one of the most boneheaded penalties in the history of the postseason with a late hit on Antonio Brown in a playoff game against the Steelers. So he's a guy, Rich, this time last year, when we had that that annual cycle of kind of in between type quarterbacks. You know, this year it was Flacco and Foles and Keenum and Tyrod Taylor. Last year, AJ McCarron was on that list. He was on that carousel of quarterbacks who were career backups who were looking to get a payday. And I think you could argue he was like the last man standing when the musical chairs all stopped. He wound up signing sort of a mid-tier deal with Buffalo. They wind up drafting Josh Allen, so he's not going to be a starter there because they draft a young quarterback. They decide to keep Nathan Peterman as their backup, and they ship McCarron out for a fifth-round pick to the Raiders to get something for him. And then he doesn't get on the field last year because Derek Carr is healthy. As backups go, I think you could do a whole lot worse than AJ McCarron. I like that they're looking at him.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the vast majority of teams in this league with a quote unquote franchise quarterback would have their seasons completely undermined, if not scuttled completely, if their franchise quarterback went down. The obvious exception is Carson Wentz playing at an MVP level a couple of years ago and Nick Foles taking over. That is a huge outlier. Not everyone can have a Nick Foles ready to step in. Not everyone can have a Teddy Bridgewater or a Tyrod Taylor ready to step in. And I found it intriguing over the weekend or whenever it was while I was out that Bridgewater had an opportunity to perhaps be the starter in Miami before they signed Ryan Fitzpatrick, but decided that $7.5 million backing up Drew Brees was a better situation for him in all ways, except, of course, obviously, the reason presumably these guys are in these uniforms, and that is to play the game. But I'm not always convinced that that is or should be the number one priority. For a guy in Teddy Bridgewater's situation, I begrudge him nothing for skipping on an opportunity for one of those 32 coveted starting quarterback spots in the NFL, because I think he would have had it in Miami. But think of everything that would have come with it had he chosen Miami.
You mean like the losing and the punishment?
Like the losing, like the lack of protection, like the lack of defense. I mean, that's a bad football team.
Well,
and a lot would be expected of him. And not to mention putting himself at risk physically behind a bad O-line.
Yeah, well, and for a guy who's sustained some injuries in his career, there's no doubt about that. And he might wind up the starter in New Orleans if Drew Brees decides to hang it up after this year. I think that's part of the play with Teddy Bridgewater.
But I think those are the two situations now, San Diego and New Orleans, where you can think that if the unthinkable happened to Rivers or Brees, those teams might survive, might continue winning.
Yeah, no, Bridgewater and Tyrod Taylor are clearly two of the top four or five backups in football. I think if the Texans sign A.J. McCarron, he's clearly in the upper half of backups, which you can't say about Brandon Whedon. And who knows, depending on how these depth charts sort of shake out, he may be one of the upper 8 or 10 backup quarterbacks in the league. So I like that. But getting back to your original question, Rich, which I think is the overriding question of this entire offseason, and as I've said many times, should be the overriding question with every decision that the Texans make, is what is in the best interest of Deshaun Watson? And to that end, what does Deshaun Watson think about what's going on with this offseason? I asked that to John on Friday, John McClain, and John kind of said, Deshaun's going about his business this offseason. He's not thinking about it. He's just enjoying his time off or whatever. I don't know.
I beg to differ.
I do too.
I think he's human.
I think he's human. I think he's an intelligent football guy. I think he's watching what's going on. And I don't think you can take 65 sacks, all the hits that he took. I don't think you can travel to a game in Jacksonville on a bus with a bruised lung and not have at least one eye on what your team is doing along the offensive line this offseason. To this point, they've done nothing on the offensive line. I guess having Jordan Mills visit and having it out there that you're at least interested in Donald Penn is a step in the right direction. But man, Rich, they are going to address it in the draft.
They're kind of sitting on their hands, Sean. If that's your point, I couldn't agree more. I mean, look, selectively aggressive, I get it. Building through the draft and selectively pursuing free agents to do it, to fill the holes you need to fill, I get it. But again, this circles back to, as you just laid out, protecting Deshaun Watson, and nothing has been done to increase the protection of Deshaun Watson.
What would need?
And I have to throw in yet.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's still March.
What would need to be done in order for the Texans to come away from free agency, you think, with people feeling good about the team or feeling good about what they did? What specific move? There were three or four more moves, and I think they've got the cap space left to do at this tier of free agent that's out there right now.
Yeah.
They probably got about three or four more moves in them in terms of signing new guys to the team. what would have to be those three moves for them to do, reasonable moves for them to come away with you feeling good about them?
Well, I don't know if there's a cornerback out there on the market still that would satisfy my desire for them to bring in a top-tier guy. I was very disappointed to see that Ronald Darby, all it took was a one-year deal for him to go back to the Philadelphia Eagles. I was also disappointed to see that all it took was 1 year's $3.6 million for Jason Verrett to commit to the San Francisco 49ers. I know both guys are coming off injuries, but those are two guys who can play
when healthy
at a number one level. I was very disappointed to see the Texans. I mean, you couldn't give Jason Verrett 1 year, $4 million or whatever it would have taken. And I know it takes two to tango.
Yeah.
I realize that, you know, that he found that San Francisco a desirable spot. Ronald Darby decided it was best to remain in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Familiarity.
And they're both on proven deals. I mean, if those guys start 14, 15, 16 games and play at a high level, they're getting one of these big cornerback deals a year from
probably
now.
Probably so. Darby especially, because his injuries haven't been as serious or as frequent as Verrett. But I agree with you. If both guys are able to stay healthy, they become very, very favorable targets next offseason. Rich, I think if they close the deal, if they come away, because right now I feel like a C or a C minus on what they've done in free agency so far, because the offensive side of the ball, there's been nothing done. That's the side that needs more work than the defensive side of the ball.
For sure.
I like what they've done in the secondary, quite honestly. I like the signing of Gibson and the one-year deal with Roby. I'm cool with that.
I am too.
But if they come away with Donald Penn, if they close this deal on A.J. McCarron, and they find one more veteran depth guy on the offensive side, whether it's the interior of the line, whether it's a running back, whether it's one of these veteran wide receivers who are out there, maybe a Chris Hogan type like that to add to Fuller and QT and Hopkins. If they do those three things, then I'm feeling about a B-plus about free agency.
Yeah.
If they're able to do those three things.
Need to find out more about this Donald Penn situation, because I realize he's an older player who's not playing at a all-pro level, which he did in three different seasons of his career. But the things they say about him, both on and off the field in Oakland, I don't know if his performance just fell off that much in 2018, but if he's still got something close to what he's had in his career left, I'd be going hard after.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.